Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that the blessing of the Lord comes upon you as you listen. Here's today's message in progress.
How's everybody doing tonight? Good. Good to be back. Did I miss you? Yeah. I'll tell you what, though. I was praying for the kids. They've been on my heart. And God's up to something. And I'm not sure what, I'm staying out of it, but I was talking to the Lord the other night, and he reminded me of John's little girl and the miracle, the creative miracle that God performed in the womb of Lori. And we were talking back and forth about it, and in the natural, it would seem quite odd what happened. And I thought, I'll never talk on that, Lord. You know, people will it could cause people to stumble. And John walks up to me in the back of the room and he goes, you know what my little girl said? Remember when Jesus saved me? And, you know, and so I'm like, nudge, nudge, you know. And John's like, you know, I want to see like her, you know. And I'm like, that's what we're preaching on tonight, John, you know. And so I've been wrestling with the Lord on this message because he gave it to me. He told me, I think, a week and a half ago what he wanted to talk about tonight. And normally he doesn't tell me that far in advance. And when he does, there's usually like some studying that takes place and some scriptures and some notes. And so I tried to get that from him, and there was no scripture notes. And so there's this wrestling going back and forth with him, and I'm like, well, whatever. You know, it's got to be you anyway, because, you know, I don't have the ability to share his heart unless he flows through. And, you know, before the meeting tonight, I was laying down just meditating and resting in the Father, and I had like six messages going all at once inside of me. And I'm like, have your way, Lord, whatever you're doing, you know, I'll say yes to. Did you want to say something?
No.
Oh, you're just waving? Amen, brother. Yeah. Amen. He's in. And so, you know, basically the Lord wanted me to talk about, you know, taste and see that the Lord is good. And, you know, that can go in 100 different directions. And if it's not the Lord, I don't want to hear it. And, you know, I don't want just a nice message. I want what his heart is saying to the body of Christ right now. And as I've been praying on this, he kept saying, he was teaching me the difference between looking and seeing. And I'm not going to get political or talk about politics or anything, but what ended up, how that question came up is I saw reactions of people. And I was like disturbed by some of it. And I, you know, when I have a disturbance, I don't usually voice it out loud. I check in, Holy Spirit, what's going on? Father, what's up with this? And he started to talk to me about looking and seeing and how some people react out of their emotional realm because they're looking and being fed information. And I'm not talking politics, I'm talking life, okay? And it's important to see God's kingdom and what God is doing in the earth. And that is the higher realm, which is the normal realm, which God has, you know, he sowed his son into the earth so that we can have the ability to be heirs to his kingdom. And so as I've been praying and pondering and walking and talking and getting revelation, a few things occurred to me through my conversations with him. And at the same time this is happening, let me tell you, the enemy was throwing little fiery darts. You know, I don't have the ability to know when someone's offended. It's a gift. And I have people in my life who tell me when, because I missed all the clues. You know, the only clue I'll catch is if they walk out the room or, like, make a gesture, you know. And that's about, when people are trying to hint to me, I don't pick up on hints either. And so if I'm alone in a conversation and someone's hinting to me, oftentimes Holy Spirit will say, ask this question. And then I do because I'm missing the hint. And then it will come out in the open eventually. It's a gift that God has put in me. But at the same time, the enemy You know, he knows. He's a strategic little snail full of slime and muck. And he does not want truth spoken, but it's already been released by Jesus. So he can't cap anything the Holy Spirit has. It's impossible. But he'll set up little strategies to try to check your emotional realm to see if you'll bite and hold back or, you know, whatever. And tonight during worship, I was reminded, you know, back in the old days in Bristol, you know, we would have these like amazing encounters with the Holy Spirit or the Father, and it would be, but yet other times it would be, and I'd be like, what's going on? And he reminded me tonight of this, and what was going on was, when I would leave a meeting and it would feel like there was like a clog in the pipe and I wasn't sure, I'm like, what's going on? See, if you ask him questions, he'll give you the answer. And that's what I love about him. He doesn't play games unless you are acting as a child, and he'll play with you as a child. But that wasn't this. This was, I'm like, Lord, what is my problem? And because I know it's not him. And he said to me, because I noticed it was always when a certain person would come to the meeting. And I had no problem with that person. I actually liked the person. He goes, and the Lord said to me, if it looks like an elder, smells like an elder, or acts like an elder, you shut up. And it was tied to a inner vow I made when I was being persecuted by the elder board, you know, many years ago. And so I had to get set free from that. And how I did that was, you know, I broke the lie. I broke the, you know, the inner vow that I made. And I apologized to the Lord because I don't want to be a half measure. I want to be all in. I don't want to live lukewarm. I want everything he has, and I want him to release everything he has. And I don't want to be, you know, a clay vessel that's not clean for his good pleasure. I want to be a treasure on a shelf that he can pick up and use me whenever he wants. And I don't care when he does or if he does. I'm always going to be ready in season for whatever he has. And that takes training the flesh. And it takes dealing with our issues in our emotional realm. And so we kind of joked about that tonight in the back. I was you know, praying during worship for part of it. And when he flashed that to me about if it smells like an elder, looks like an elder, acts like an elder, you ain't saying nothing because you don't want to get in trouble again. And I was like, well, what's the story? What, you know, why are you bringing this up tonight? And he said, because there's other people in the room that have the same issue. It's a different inner vow, but really the formula is the same. The enemy's designed or trying to trick us into staying in our emotional realm so that we never fully encounter the holiness of God. And it may be because of self-protection. I don't want to get hurt again. You know, every man has hurt me, every person has hurt me, so therefore I'm not going to be vulnerable to the Father or whatever. And God is so kind and tender, he will keep wooing us. He doesn't see our issues like we see them. Like if I look at you or you or you, I see your issue, you see my blemish, whatever, my overweightness, whatever, my crabbiness, whatever it is that day. He doesn't see any of that. He sees himself in me because I'm created in his image. And so as I've been praying and pondering and thinking a lot about the kids and praying for the kids, not the ones that are, I should say when I say that, I don't mean just those ones that come. I'm praying for the youth. I'm praying for, you know, I don't even want to start on that, but I'm just praying for the next generations to for supernatural encounters, bypassing all the flesh and all the emotions and all the thoughts and all the teachings and connecting with the Father in such a way that they'll never unplug from him. And so as I've been praying and seeking him about seeing, you know, now you guys are looking at me. Some of you are looking at me right now, and you're looking, okay? Now, if you're looking in the flesh, you're going to see that I have this maroon-colored jacket on. But if you look in the spirit, if you start to see in the spirit, you're going to see angelic activity. You're going to see supernatural manifestations. And so how come you can see it and you can't? Now, notice I didn't point at anybody in the room because we all have the ability. And the answer is, it's how we perceive what God's word says. And what I mean by that is, I if we're taught certain things, like we're actually taught not to believe in supernatural encounters. We're told to, you know, sit up straight, stop daydreaming, don't use your imagination, follow the, and that's the way it is. And that's the natural realm, which is the lower realm. But I've got some good news tonight, because I'm going to share some scriptures that are going to help us, like, light the fuse of the promises of God and maybe blow off some of the false belief systems that are holding us back. And my heart's cry is, I want, you know, more Lord, more Lord. I don't ever want to get distracted and not be crying out, more Lord. And when I say more Lord, I'm not limiting more Lord everything. More Lord for everybody. More Lord, more of your presence, more of everything you have into the earth. Let us be true sons and daughters of Jesus Christ, where we rule and reign on the earth as it is in heaven, where we only see what our Father is doing or what Jesus is whispering or the Holy Spirit is trying to get us to see. And so we have to make a decision that God's word's true. Now, God's word's true, let me just say that right now. But if you have a false doctrine, you have a greater chance of reading with filters, false filters, the word of God. And let me share what I mean by that. I had a false belief system, one of many, and the one that really stumbled me when I got saved, you know, I really thought Jesus was coming tomorrow. And that was many, many, many years ago. And so I lived my life that Jesus was coming tomorrow, which is a good thing because, you know, I cleaned up my act pretty fast with him because, you know, I thought he was coming tomorrow. And I knew I was like, I had a lot of years to cut and try to clean up. But only he can clean us up. But I didn't know that back then. And so with me thinking that Jesus was coming tomorrow, I, you know, what you first image really becomes your doctrine. And that could be good and that could be bad. And in my case, you know, I sat, you know, I was going to church. I was a casual, lazy Christian who would never open the Bible, and I wanted to be fed on that Sunday morning, get a good spoonful of whatever to last me till the next week. I didn't know you were supposed to have relationship with the Word of God, and you could have relationship this side of heaven with the kingdom of God. And so when I got serious after going to one of Edgar and Holly's Saturday night services where I met Jesus Christ, I actually met him in a meeting, and he wrecked me. And I realized everything I had was plastic cheap junk compared to his goodness. And it convicted me. But I still had all this baggage and all this stuff I had to deal with. And so slowly he would help me untangle the webs that I had wove into my great empire of life that I built, which was all plastic and, you know, and the winds were blowing and it was all going to go down anyway. And so in my case, when I got serious, I started going to the services because I didn't know how to experience his presence like that. And I didn't know how to house his presence. The way it was for me was I kind of went into the smokehouse of God and got filled with smoke and his glory. And then I would come out and it would hang on me. He would hang on me, but it would wane away or wean away or however you say it. And I would go back for another dose. And it took lots of training and asking questions on how to house his presence or house him, you know, through relationship with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, getting baptized in the Holy Spirit was like, you know, a dynamite bomb that went off and nothing's been the same since. And it just cracked away a lot of bad stuff, you know what I'm saying? But in my case, I started going to the midweek service. And I heard a teaching, a wonderful teaching on the book of Revelation. And, you know, Bill Benchmer, y'all remember him? Yeah. It rocked my life. And it was like an ignition, it was like another vitamin that I needed, a nutrient that was missing. But what it did was it caused me again to think that Jesus was coming tomorrow. And so, you know, I think my kids got freaked out, you know, because I remember reading the scriptures, you know, if you're pregnant and you're, you know, if you're reading it with the filter of he's coming tomorrow, you don't want to get pregnant. Let me just tell you that, okay? And because you don't want to, you know, anyway. But God was trying to get me to understand that I had a false belief system, but I couldn't hear him, and I couldn't see it. But here's the thing. I was so hungry for his presence because I tasted and saw how good he was. And that wrecked me in a good way. It like opened up life, eternal life here on earth. And so as I was, you know, trying to get rid of all the baggage and close all the demonic doors and get cleaned up and try to live a holy life and act like a Christian, whatever that is. I laugh at it all now because you can't do any of that. That's all works of the flesh. It may be good for a week, but darn it, I swore again. Or, you know, it may be good for a day, but, ooh, I had a bad thought, you know. And maybe it was worse. Maybe I had a worse sin. I don't remember, but I just remember the torment and the back and forth. But there's this thing called grace, and I love the grace of Jesus Christ that he sowed into the king, into our lives, and that's a whole nother message, but I'm trying to talk about false belief systems and the things that hold us back from seeing the goodness of God. And in my case, I was crying out, you know, Lord, I'm a mess. You got to change me. Lord, I don't understand. Lord, here I am. Help me with my unbelief. How does this work? And he had me follow this guy on the internet. And this was back when the internet was kind of new. And he wrote a book. And it was on the book of Revelation. And I don't even remember the name of the book anymore. But I was working in the mortgage company back in those days, so I just like downloaded it and printed out the book and read the book. And I only read the first chapter, and God opened my eyes to a false belief system that I had that was causing delay in my spiritual growth. And when that happened, I knew, oh my gosh, this is the question I've been asking all along, all these other ways trying to figure it out, and here's the answer. And when that happened, I was so thankful. I was so grateful, and I remember renouncing the lie that I believed, and it wasn't that it was a bad teaching, it's my mind was so messed up. And I heard a truth that wasn't really the truth. It was the truth with my opinions added to it, you know? And so, you ever done that? You know, just to give you an example of how this works, we could preach a message, and in the old days, you know, I don't even know if I should share this. You know, I would be preaching something, and somebody would be all offended at the end of the meeting, and of course I missed the offense during the service. And they would come up and they'd have this problem and they would say, you said blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, no, I didn't. And I'd say, you want to hear the tape? You know, because we used to record it on these little recorders back then. That was before high tech. And you know, they heard what their emotions wanted them to hear, which was completely not what was being said. And how many times has that happened to us? Sometimes we are thinking so fast that we already can finish the person speaking sentence, but maybe it wasn't what they were really going to say. And maybe they just shut up because you finished it anyway, or you maybe, I don't know. But I'm saying, oftentimes we are our worst enemy. And God wants us to taste and see his goodness in the land. And if you, and he used to say this all the time to me, where you look is where you go. And so, and the example he always gave me was, if you're on a bicycle and a dog starts barking and you look at the dog, you're going to lean into the dog. Don't pay attention to the dog. Keep your eyes on me and I will help you. And so that took lots of training, because how many times do you look at the dog and go, ah, and then you, you know, end up in a ditch. And so God's trying to get us out of the familiarity of what we're used to. And I'm going to give you an example. This morning when I woke up, I had a little bit of a battle. And I was like, I'm not getting up today. You know, and that's not me. And I'm like, and then I'm like, I'm going to just lay in bed all day. And I'm like, I don't think I could. Well, I could. Actually, I could. But it would be a planned lay in bed with my Bible and you know, a good hot cup of something and Jesus. It wouldn't be, I'm not looking out the window. I'm not dealing with anybody. And that's kind of how the day was starting. And I'm like, what is this? And I had to break some word curses. People, you know, some people speaking junk, you know, that we call that, well, we call it, well, it's just witchcraft, okay? And so it's word cursing. And so, you know, life and death is in the power of the tongue. Choose life. And so, you know, I had to break some, you know, some junk off in the spirit realm. But what I want to say is, as I laid there, the Lord said to me, I got to remember what he said, like the law of familiarity or something like that, or, you know, and what he was saying is, don't take the easy path. What was it, Holly?
He said the path of least resistance.
The path of least resistance. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, that sounds good, you know. But I knew it was like, get up, get out of bed, and start praying in tongues. And so there's this battle, this dual battle going on. My flesh and my emotions are like, well, the path of least resistance, yeah, the bad. But the Holy Spirit inside of me is like, come on, get up. Let's get this taken care of. And so I got up and I took care of it, but it took a while. And at the same time, I'm feeling like I'm carrying something for the meeting tonight. So there's this dual in the Holy Ghost and in the devil. And I'm like, Lord, I'm leaving it all at the foot of the cross, and I'm just trusting you because you're faithful. I have nothing, and nobody has anything on me because I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. And if somebody doesn't like me, I don't care. And I got over that through lots of practice. You know, you don't just one day say, oh, they don't like me, I'm fine with that. You get to deal with the emotions that are tied to rejection. You get to deal with you know, the reasons behind why you're feeling like you should vindicate yourself or whatever. And so I was out in the yard today, and I really wanted to mow the grass because I just wanted to check out. But the Lord's like, no, you're not mowing the grass. And I'm like, you know, I was like, okay. So I'm just hanging out with him outside and just walking around and you know, just fellowshipping. And he was reminding me of the process of getting free. And, you know, there's opportunity in this room tonight. God is throwing nuggets out, and he's like, it's kind of like a sword hitting the little false belief systems that have built your wall of self-protection or preservation or righteousness, which is a fleshly one. And God's given you an opportunity to renounce that lie, come out of it, and receive his truth. And so where we're at today, God is calling us into position. You know, many people feel like we just had a great victory, but you know what? There's victory every day. And one thing I know from spiritual battles is there's no days off. You can rest in him and stay hidden in him, Psalm 91, but there's a... If you're an intercessor, you're going to pray. If you're an intercessor, you're going to do and speak the word of the Lord in season. And as you do that, you grow your giftings that God gave you. You didn't get to choose, really. He gives them to us. And then they lay dormant, and then they start to grow. And so the kids back there, they've got lots of giftings inside of them. And even the ones that aren't here. And God, I'm watching this as I'm praying, and I'm nothing special. I'm just on assignment right now. And it'll be another assignment another day. But my assignment right now is I'm blowing the breath of God into those giftings that he put in those kids. And I'm praying hedges of protection so the enemy doesn't get a foothold. And so as we continue on, I'm trying to get us to a place where we stop reacting to what we're looking at or what's being fed to us in the natural, and start to shore up and drink in the Word of God, which has power and creative miracles and all kinds of opportunities for change. You know, we could do and maybe it works for some people, and we could set a program of, you know, we're going to, you know, whatever. Let's just say we're going to read the Bible every day at 6 a.m. for an hour, and then we're going to go on our treadmill and work out for another hour, and then whatever's after that, go to work. That's a great plan, But if it's not birthed in the Spirit, it's a plan of the flesh, and it'll eventually bring failure or decay because it's a work of the flesh. Now, I'm not saying don't work out and don't read your Bible, but I'm saying it's important. If you want victory, we need to know God's way. And here's the thing. It changes. He's forever the same, but his plans for, and it has to be, otherwise the enemy starts to go, oh, here we go. She's settled here on Mondays, and, you know, this is what she does every Monday. And he'll throw a wrench to try to get us off course. And if we get so robotic with whatever we're doing, are we really in the Spirit and moving in the ebb and flow of the Holy Ghost? Or is it a flesh that we've mastered to imitate the Holy Ghost? Just saying. And I heard the word pause, you know. And so, you know, God is challenging us to come up higher. He really is. And it's time. We're all past the point of his tongues for today. We're all past the point of whatevers. What is it that he has for you? What is it that he wants you to see? Not to look at, but to see. Not to observe, but to see. And when you see, I can't give it English words except for when you see in what he has for you, his plan, it is a connection in the Spirit that penetrates the heart, which causes an explosion and a like an acceleration of the next step in him. And meanwhile, we battle with, I'll do it tomorrow. I first want to get this done. Or, is that really for me? Was that really God? God only has good for us. And if you struggle with deception, I'm just going to say, did you sow seeds of deception? Now, I don't mean this disrespectfully, but oftentimes we reap what we sow. And if that's your case, if that was your old dead man and you were like real deceitful and you struggle with being deceived, is there a stronghold there or a spirit of familiarity that you need to cut the tie with, renounce, repent, and replace with God's word? So I'm trying to get to some really good scriptures. And I have three chapters, three big books. And of course I didn't mark them because it was right there when I was in. Here we go. Romans 8:12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, those are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Who's got fear in here tonight? You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. You've been cut. That's been cut. Stop. Here's a scripture. Turn your back on sin. Turn your back on the spirit of fear. Do not engage, because he is a sly devil and he knows if you're emotionally attached. Hook. Spirit man, rise. Make a decision tonight to separate yourself from the spirit of fear. No more fear. Fear, I refuse your package. You have no hold on me. I break that tie in the spirit right now. I have a perfect love. Cast off fear. And I have perfect love of Jesus Christ because I've been redeemed, washed clean by the blood. Amen? Amen. And that wasn't even part of the message. So you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, Father, help me. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are God's children, or children of God. So that's pretty cool. And if you could see what that looks like, you'd be like, whoa. And if the children, so if we're God's children and then we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, I don't like that part, that we may also be glorified together. Suffer, wrestling out the flesh. working it out, getting rid of it, subduing it. For I considered that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. When you look at the glory of God, when you taste and see his goodness, this earth has no hold. The problems are just mere setbacks compared to his love and his glory. Here's what I wanted to get to. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willfully, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. We eagerly wait for his promises, what he's shown us, with perseverance. Because the enemy's going to try to come, your kids are going to try to come, your work is going to call, your neighbors are going to, have their barking dogs, and every distraction is trying to pull you from the hope in the spirit realm of the revelation and the glory that is going to be revealed through you if you just persevere. Okay, flip. Now, I'm going to read Ephesians 1:17, Paul's prayer. And I've been praying this. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, in you, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality, power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he puts all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. I'm going to stop there because I want to go back to the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. Sometimes some of the translations say, I can't think of them right now, but one of my favorite ones is flooded with light, his light. And that you may know. Do you know? Are you praying? This is a prayer that I want everybody to pray, and we're going to pray this before we go home tonight. Do you know what the hope of the calling is and what your inheritance is in that he has for us? Do you know that? Do we know that we have the resurrection power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwelling inside of us? That we can be seated high above principalities, above all the darkness. And see, if you're looking, you're not seeing. Come up higher. Now, poof. No. It's a prayer. And sometimes we have to continually, willfully contend for the promises of God. And sometimes we have to fight against what we were taught when we were little. It's not for today. It's only special ones. Rubbish. Jesus died. He purchased us, the bride, a spotless bride he's coming back for. And because he did that, we are obligated to say yes, Abba. Yes, Father. Help me with my unbelief. Show me what I need to do. Why am I acting weird? What is my deal? Why do I get upset when somebody starts talking about tongues? Why do I get upset when someone starts talking about miracles? Why do I get upset when there's blah, blah, whatever the why? Take it to the Father. Take it in prayer. He will never withhold any good thing from you. The angels are cheering you on to bring your questions to them, to the Father, to say, help me, Papa, help me, I don't understand. We come as a child, and the problem, one of the problems I see is we compete with each other in knowledge of scriptures. I know more. Do-da. I can't even spell half the words in the, you know. And see, if you know more flesh. If you could see what you look like in the Spirit, you're marvelous. There's no blemishes. You're wholly His. You look just like Him. But you are looking in your fleshly mirror and going, "Yeah." So I'm going to learn another scripture because I want to be validated. Listen, your validation comes from the Father and only the Father. We need to get that. I know there's brokenness in here, and I know there's heartache in here, and I know there's trouble in here. I know there's issues that people are dealing with. But I know the Father. Go to Him. He has the answer. The first thing He's going to do is love on you. He's going to woo you. He knows the issues. That doesn't bother Him. He has the ability to create your eyeball. Do you think He can't fix a problem? But we have to go to Him, and oftentimes we feel like, well, I got to just work this problem out first, and then I'll go, well, I'm not good enough, I can't go yet. Listen, none of us are good enough. That's what Jesus' blood was shed for, to bring the healing and cleansing and to rip the veil where we can go boldly into the throne of grace, to obtain mercy in a time of need. Who's got a time of need? I had a time of need today, and you can bet I was hanging out. I wasn't searching Facebook for my answers. I wasn't dialing a friend for comfort. I wasn't looking for somebody to feed my emotions of, poor me, I'm having a hard time. No, I was, shadabarabande konerekato, Lord, what's the deal? Shandalebako, Holy Spirit, what do you think about this? Lekondereba shandaleba, oh, I worship you, Jesus. See, the deal is to get out of our flesh. If we can get out of our flesh, the devil's got nothing on us. He got nothing on us. Sometimes I just worship. If I'm in a problem, if I'm crabby or something, I just bust out and worship. And I'm not the greatest singer, and oftentimes I think maybe the angels might be laughing, but they're laughing with me because we're cracking up because, hey, I make a joyful noise. I'm telling you, I don't measure how great I sing or how bad I sing. I come as a kid with mud on my face. And sometimes Jesus will just gently take my hand, or sometimes I'll feel myself wrapped in the love of the Father. And you might think, well, that how can that be? Well, see the goodness of God. Stop looking at me. Boom. Okay, I got one more. I think. Okay. Here's a good one for y'all. This is in 2 Kings. See, this is scriptural. Do you remember Elisha, the prophet? He was in Israel, and he would tell the king of Israel the words that were spoken by the bad king that were spoken in his bedroom. Well, how does that work? It's a supernatural encounter. It's a spiritual encounter. He comes up higher. Now, I'm not going to teach on this tonight, but boy, I could. But here's the thing. It's scriptural. You can get a word of knowledge from the Father, from the Holy Spirit, from Jesus. You can get words of knowledge. You can see into the realm of the kingdom of God. You can see into the realm of the kingdom of darkness. They coexist. God's realm's higher. Come up higher. And so, here's what I want to say, though, about this. The king got mad and sent an army. And, right before that, it was like the school of the prophets. You know, he was teaching. I said, is it like mentoring? He said, no, it's not. I'm not going there. But so Elijah was teaching young prophets. And there were signs and wonders that were taking place because they were going to build something. And the guy that borrowed the axe head, when it fell in the water, they used the stick and got it out. Okay, how does that work? Looker. See in the kingdom of God how it works. Take this scripture and meditate on it and let it open. Don't go YouTube it. Get it straight from the book. So I want to go on a little bit because I want to talk about the relationship that Elisha had. And here's what I want to say. So the bad guys surrounded him, and Elijah's understudy, went out and said, they're here, they're going to kill us, what are we going to do? He had fear. He had fear. And so he said, alas, my master, what shall we do? And so Elijah answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. He's thinking, huh? How does that work? And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Now, at that moment, he had a choice, to look or to see. And he stayed in see mode. And when they came down to, you know, to attack him, this is what Elijah did. He didn't smite him with the sword. He said, he prayed to the Lord and said, strike these people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elijah. Now, think of that. Life and death in the power of tongue. Choose life. And what I find, their relationship was so close, he knew his prayer would be answered. You know, it wasn't like, oh, Lord, let it be. You know, he was like, strike him with blindness, and God, okay, blind. That's a relationship. Now, it's kind of an example, but here's what the cool thing is. Even then, he got a little, you know, he says, you know, can I kill him? And he's like, no. You know, you made him go blind. Feed him. And so he actually showed kindness to them, and the situation got turned because he listened to what the Lord had to say. Now, in the natural, they may have battled and they may have been slain. We don't know. But because he was a man of God and he listened to God and had relationship and fellowship, he had no fear. His servant did, but he had no fear. And then his servant got to see, and he had no fear, and there was a victory. It's important to train our flesh and emotions not to react to what we're looking at in the natural. Come up higher and see what the Word of God says about that situation, and then proclaim what he says to say. That's enough. So I said all that to say this. Who in here wants to see? Yeah. Amen. I see you guys in the back. Amen. If you didn't raise your hand, no condemnation. Never be pressured to pray, but never miss an opportunity when God's given. And know the difference. Start to discern the difference. Oftentimes, a great message is preached, but it's not of the Lord. Start to discern the difference and ask him, is this you, Lord? Is this of you? Because we're in the day of great deception. It says even the elect may be deceived. We need to see what's going on and not be blind sheep being led off to slaughter or bondage or being taken as a hostage. So, every one of you, open your eyes and let's pray. You know, sometimes we say, close your eyes. No, open your eyes. I want you to believe God and his word. Father, right now, we proclaim boldly, your word is true. We want to see all that you have for us, whether it's scary or not. Because if it's scary, it's probably the flesh. Help me discern the flesh from the spirit. Help me subdue my flesh. Spirit man, rise. Eyes open. Ears open. Signs and wonders come. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. You can download more messages at our store from SpiritofGodWorldwide.com.